New and aspiring realtors, are you ready to hear the whole story about a career in real estate? Caroline Boland, our guest on today's program, is in studio to tell all. As a real estate educator and working realtor for the past 10 years, she's gotten to know the ins and outs of the business like few others. Listen in and find out whether a career in real estate is right for you. And here's a hint. It probably is, if you know what to expect your first year and how to build a foundation for future success. Begin listening right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am your host, Jim Sandville, here in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here with Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jim.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Did you get enough sleep last night?
No. I had to get up early and go do the lockbox thing.
Oh, that's right.
I'm recovering. It's good.
Yeah.
Because now we have a nice bundle of informative energy as a awesome guest today.
We do indeed, and I'll introduce her in just a moment. I'm glad you're gonna make it, Jerry.
I am.
Yeah. We both had a little lack of sleep last night, but we're gonna power through it. We're gonna power through this thing.
Yes.
Our guest here today, and by the way, this is the show where we talk about real estate, all aspects of real estate. If you're a realtor, home buyer, home seller, or if you just are interested in the topic, this is the show for you, because you will get some news you can use, which is one of my guests' favorite expressions. We've already kicked that one around a few times today, and I agree that that's exactly what we want to provide here, news you can use if you're a realtor, home buyer, home seller. So you're in the right place. Don't worry about that. And let's jump right into it with our guest. Her name is Caroline Boland. Welcome, Caroline.
Great to be here, back with the Double J's. So thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Caroline is Director of Instructor Training and Development, which is the train the trainer kind of stuff, right?
Correct.
Yeah, at Larson Educational Services here in Fort Myers, Florida. She's also a realtor and has been in the business for 10 years.
Correct.
10
coming
years.
Coming up on a, boy, coming close to 11, 12.
10 yeah. and a half, 11,
yeah,
12.
Yeah, time flies.
yeah, it's all good. And she's done very well. Didn't know much about real estate when she started in the business, but she sure does now. She's made up for it. And she teaches people who teach people about real estate. So, and she's also an instructor here at RPCRA, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association here in Fort Myers, and is one of our premier instructors. So we are very happy to have her in the studio. We had Caroline on a previous show where she talked about sort of the basics of, if you're thinking about becoming a realtor, what's that look like? What's the process? How do you get to the point where you're licensed? And we covered that pretty well on the previous episode with Caroline. So if you're interested in the topic, I would encourage you to look that up. And we're going to dive into another aspect of becoming a realtor now, which is, I have passed the license test. I am ready to go. I'm ready to become a realtor. I'm wet behind the ears. Where do I begin? What's the reality once I start this job?
All right. Well, the legal reality is, if you've passed the sales associate exam, your license is considered inactive. How you activate that license is by joining a brokerage, because really you're representative of that broker. The broker is the one that has the legal relationship with the buyer and or seller. So selecting a broker is going to be your first order of business. You're going to get all kinds of communication from broker. Come interview with us. Interview here. While it's setting up as an interview, you really need to turn the tables and say, I am interviewing the broker. And I never use the word good or bad. Is this a good brokerage or a bad brokerage? Absolutely not. What is happening is you're trying to determine your best fit. Everyone has a different need. And if you're just starting out, you're thinking, well, I've never done a transaction. I don't have any customers. I don't even know how to begin. Maybe that's what you're thinking right away is, a couple surprising things when folks ask me this question. First of all, I say, it's not about the money right now. A lot of people want to talk about the split. And what is a split? Well, a split is the share of the commission that you will earn. You know, and people say, oh, I want to go with this broker. They're going to give me more money. Well, more money of what? 100% of zero is always going to be zero. You need to learn how to generate business. So I say focus a little more on that. Once you've proven that you can generate business, trust me, the negotiation is going to go in your favor really quickly down the road. The other question I believe you want to ask a broker is, who helps me when the office is closed? Because inevitably, when are folks looking at houses? Evenings, weekends, holidays, whatever. And this is a very real circumstance. Let's say you're finally working with your first buyer and you've been driving around looking at properties and they call you up Sunday night and they say, okay, hey, we're going to get on a plane tomorrow morning, but you know that third condo we looked at yesterday, we want to put in an offer. And you're saying, great, you're shaking and sweating and you're just happy you're on the phone and it's not a face-to-face conversation and you've never written an offer. What do you do? And if your best option is, well, okay, that's great. Our office opens at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'm going to go in and someone will help me. Hey, in this red-hot market, that property's gone.
You're right.
So who do you call? Who helps you? And you need to be very forthcoming about that. You're bringing something to the table. Everyone in real estate, well, you're bringing your license, okay? You're bringing the minimum level of entry, but you're also bringing your life experiences and maybe things you were good at a past job or natural skills and abilities, but you need help. You cannot ignore that you need help. And I always say the good news is, you get up to speed fast in this business. There's lots of ways to get help in and out of the brokerage, but you've got to lean on that broker, and that broker should want you to lean on them because you're representative of that brokerage. You know, you're not an island. You've joined a realtor association, most certainly. The broker belongs to the association, so do you. Embrace every aspect of education that is offered to you. Education is how you get ahead in this business. Seriously, don't look at it, well, I don't need any more hours, so I don't need to take that class. Don't let the number of hours impact you, whether it's a continuing education course. You want to get in there and you want to pay attention to who's around you, who's offering the course. I take more courses than anybody I know, particularly as an instructor, because I want to meet the experts. I took one once on boating and seawalls. I am no more a threat to the boating and seawall world than when I started, okay? Mm-hmm. But you know what? The guy that taught that class, a local guy, I was absolutely convinced. I've got a boating or seawall question. I'm calling you. Hmm. I mean, there's so many ways to get ahead. But you've got to be a self-starter. You've got to be ready to embrace this on your own. But don't overlook what's right in front of you.
And by the way, if you're listening from outside the Southwest Florida area, you may wonder why boats and seawalls have anything to do with real estate. But Cape Coral, Florida, which is right next to us and where we operate, has more canals than Venice.
That is absolutely true. There are more canals right here in Cape Coral, Florida. However, they don't all go the same place. And that's incredibly important to know, because if you have a customer that's a boater, you know, I'm probably not too much of a stretch here. They probably care about more about that boat than their own kids. Okay,
sometimes,
people like their boats down here. But if you say, hey, it's on a canal, this will be great for you, and you find out that the canal is not wide enough, or it takes 2.5 hours to get to the Gulf, or there's a bridge that's going to cause a great big problem, that customer is going to be hot.
Or that there's no river access.
That's right. There's so much to be concerned about. Yeah. And this is geographically anywhere, anytime. I mean, no matter where you're at. But again, we're in an environment where there's a lot of learning that can be done in person, online. Just silly. These little magazines that you get. You get them because you pay for them because of your membership. Read them. It's absolutely incredible. Just the little tidbits and the things you learn by reading your National Realtor Magazine, your Florida Realtor Magazine, whatever your state
newsletters
is. The fact that you're listening to this podcast right now says that you're interested in learning more. And learning is a great thing. You know you're old when you quote your parents. You know, that means you finally agree with it. Here comes my mother's pearl. My mother always said this. She always said, your education's the only thing you'll have forever. But she backed it up. I have two sisters, she said, and I believe so strongly in that I'll help you pay for college, but I'm never paying for a wedding. Because I know the education will last forever.
Right.
And she wasn't playing either, too. And it's something I've kind of carried with me. Even if you walk out of a class saying, I didn't learn a thing, well, you knew enough to say I didn't learn a thing. I just please. This is the one thing I see just everywhere in the world, but particularly in real estate. People step over a lot of opportunities to get to something elusive when there's so much right in front of you, just in your own ability to work with buyers and sellers, but also the opportunity to advance yourself in the field as well.
Hmm. You mentioned a while back about establishing a relationship with a broker and how there's actually a recruiting effort among brokers.
Absolutely.
To get new agents, realtors in their offices. Is there a commitment typically, contract? How does that work?
Great question. So it's a couple things. First of all, remember, you're an independent contractor, so you're not an employee. You should be signing and reading carefully your independent contractor agreement. It's called an ICA. It details a lot of things, a lot of aspects of the working relationship. It details your compensation, when and how you are compensated, if your compensation is subject to a split. A split generally is the sharing of the commission between the broker and the sales associate. It details other expenses. Something to be aware of is called E&O, errors and omissions insurance. That's professional liability insurance to cover the brokerage in the event of some suggested deficiency in the professional service that was provided. Who pays for that? Is there something called a desk fee? And I've heard people say, I don't need a desk. I've got one at home. No, it's not an actual desk, but it really is to cover your contribution to the business. Does the brokerage you're joining have a franchise or a royalty fee? Meaning, do they have a big mothership that they're attached to that says, for use of our great, well-established name, it's going to cost you? There's no right or wrong answers to any of this, but it's definitely something you need to know and something you need to explore. The reason this is such a recruiting game is the brokerage makes money when you produce.
So you period. You can connect with a big name broker that has the mothership, as you mentioned, or you can go with a boutique agency maybe, but there's no right or wrong, as you say.
Absolutely.
Success can be found in either.
And I've done both. You know, my own personal brokerage is a very, very, very tiny, under the radar. It's a brokerage for legal purposes to basically house my own license, but I've also, I was managing broker of a large international brokerage for several years, so I got to see it done on a very global scale. Wonderful experiences on both ends, but very different. Now, here's something else a lot of folks ask. What if I sign up with the brokerage and I'm just not feeling it? You know, what do I do? Well, first of all, you read your independent contractor agreement. There should not be any problem there. You should not sign any independent contractor agreement that has any sort of non-compete clause that says, hey, if you leave, you can't join someone else. That shouldn't exist.
And should you have a lawyer before you sign it?
I'm not a lawyer. I don't dispense legal advice. That's somebody's call. If somebody wants to have a lawyer review it, of course you can.
Sure.
Absolutely. You know, but otherwise, you want to shake hands and move on. We're all in the same business. You're going to see each other over and over again. The important thing to remember, though, is the transactions are not yours. Everything you do is on behalf of the brokerage. So if you say, well, I've got a closing next week, but I'm mad, I'm going to march off and join the guy across the street, you may be leaving that piece of business with the broker because you don't have the legal right to transact business. So I always say, be smart about the moves you make. Don't leave money on the table. And a lot of times people say, well, I heard you could negotiate that. Well, you can. Anything in this world's negotiable, but I'm not guaranteeing you're going to win. So I like to go for the sure thing, which is I'd like to be paid before I march out the door. But, you know, again, that's opinion. But these are the type of things you want to discuss. People always say, well, wait, I'm getting a real estate license because I want to buy a house. If I join a brokerage, do I have to give that broker part of my commission, even if it's my house? That could happen. You want to look at every circumstance, and if you feel an exception should be warranted to you in that case, negotiate that as part of your independent contractor agreement when you sign on.
Are you aware of any instances of a non-compete?
No.
No.
No. And that's, I hear all kinds of folks saying, and it's probably true. Some of our lawyer friends out there would probably know. I know there's a lot of issues, and it depends on the state. That's why I say that, too. Some states, it's absolutely illegal to have any kind of non-compete. I don't know what state, but that's my feeling there. If you see anything there that sounds funny to you or sounds unfair or says, I don't know what this means, you hit the nail on the head. Seek appropriate counsel.
And I should point out that we're talking about Florida, your experience in the state of Florida, but many of these things are going to be true in other states.
Yeah. One of the biggest surprises in real estate, at least in Florida real estate, is you're an independent contractor. You need to know when you're going to get paid. And seriously, this is something that kind of goes over most of our heads in the beginning, because most of our employment experiences have been just that, as an employee. There's not a single law in the state of Florida that says how fast your broker needs to pay you.
Really?
So there should be a question. When do I get paid? Do I get paid at closing? Do I get paid X amount of days after the transaction concludes? Is it by wire transfer? Is it by check? There's no standard.
So the answers are all over the board.
Absolutely. Yeah. But people go in just assuming, well, I'm going to get paid on this date. And that's a crazy assumption to make.
And if you're brand new, living off your savings, that's a critical point.
Absolutely. And again, it's a big leap. And I would, being quite frank here, it's probably one of the biggest adjustments for most folks, because most people have employment experiences before they have independent contractor experiences. Mm-hmm. Something else that you need to be wildly aware of is that when you are paid your commission, you are paid your commission without any deduction for taxes. This does not mean you do not owe taxes on your income. You most certainly do. One of the biggest rookie mistakes is by folks that do not set aside money to pay taxes. And there's no shortage of information out there in the world that tells you what happens when you don't pay your taxes.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
so you want to get appropriate legal and accounting advice, but set money aside, because you're going to be paid on a 1099. That you don't have an employer. Nobody's going to be deducting federal income tax. You want to make sure you have money set aside for when you do your taxes at the end of the year, that you can cover it. Tax evasion is frowned upon in most states.
Ought to have an accountant in your corner.
And again, a piece of advice I got early on that just, I give it because it was such gold advice to me, was concentrate on what you do well. And pay the professionals to fill in those blanks that are a necessary part of your business. So, for example, I'm not an accountant. I don't know anything about accounting. I do not like to do TurboTax over a week, and I don't even know half of what it's talking about. So get an accountant and get settled in with one very early, because one of the benefits of being an independent contractor is there's a lot of tax deductibility associated with what you do, a lot of your expenses, your mileage, et cetera, et cetera. But get engaged with professionals early. Don't put it off and say, oh, I'll figure this out later. It'll snowball on you.
Have you seen people make that mistake?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, boy. All right, well, there's a lot more I want to ask you about, Caroline, but we need to take a very quick break. So we were, just a reminder, we're talking with Caroline Boland, who is a realtor educator. Actually, she educates people who educate realtors for Larson Educational Services in Fort Myers, and is an instructor here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. Knows her stuff. So we'll be right back after this very quick message.
I'm Bill Steinke, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Michelle Prox-Foose with Goodwill Industries of Southwest Florida, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Justin Thibault of LSI Companies, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Do you own a second home or a vacation property? Do you rent it out to vacationers? Local governments across Florida are over-regulating your ability to rent out your property. RPAC fights these regulations and defends the rights of homeowners across Lee County and Florida. Invest as little as $20 in RPAC today to help us fight unwanted government regulations. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, the Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville, along with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
Hello. And we also have our guest still here. Thank you for sticking around during the break, Caroline.
I'm thrilled to be here.
She tried to leave, and we had to throw a lasso around
her. This is great company.
Oh, things got a little crazy there, but we got her back.
It's a J sandwich. This is a...
That's right. That's right. That's us, the Jays. We are the Jays. Anyway, we're talking about real estate. Caroline is a realtor educator and a realtor and knows her stuff. And the topic today is, what if you're starting out as a new realtor? What kind of things do you need to know, and how do you prepare for it? And Caroline, one of the things we had talked about before you came in today was lead generation, mentorship, business planning. There's a lot of little details. Can you touch on some of the skills that a realtor will need to develop right off the bat if they're going to be successful?
Absolutely. One of your first educational requirements upon being licensed, the state, and I'm talking about the state of Florida, every state has their own mandate, but the state of Florida requires a 45-hour post-licensing education course. Now, this course is entirely different than your pre-licensing, which focuses just on the nuances of a state test. Post-licensing is about business planning, goal setting, marketing, image, communication, working with buyers, sellers, contracts, appraisals, negotiation skills. This is what you want to know. So my first recommendation is you will have to take it before your first renewal if you're in the state of Florida, which is 18 to 24 months. You'll know your precise date once you're licensed. Don't put this off. Take this right away. It's a deadline-driven course, and of course, those courses fill up right before a deadline date. Take it right away, and if possible, if your time and budget allow, take it before you even choose a broker, because you're going to start thinking about the business of real estate, and the business of real estate includes business planning. You've got to put pen to paper about what is my pipeline, what is my budget, how much money do I have in savings, what is the reality of the market I'm working in, what is the average sale price, how many homes are turning over every month, what's the lending environment like. It's a reality check about the business of real estate. Business, capital B here. I will also add that through Realtor Associations, there's a course called GRI, Graduate Realtor Institute, and the first 45 hours of GRI counts as your post-licensing. Either way, you've got to take that education, but that education hits deeply on your business. Lead generation, and this is something I say be wary of. Be wary of folks that are contacting you to purchase leads. We're all in the sales business, right? So it's not uncommon for new licensees and old licensees and anybody in between to get communication. Now, sign up for our service. We'll guarantee you X amount of leads a month, and you won't have to worry about finding anybody to buy or sell houses. We've got all their names. And think about the reality of that. Does that make sense? Well, do you think there's all these strangers just roaming around out there just waiting to have their name appear in a list so somebody can contact them? Be careful about that. And I always say, don't necessarily gravitate to someone that promises you leads. Gravitate to someone that teaches you how to generate your own leads, which really begins with taking a look at your sphere of influence. Who's around you? What clubs or activities are you involved in? I look at myself, and I make a joke about how ill-prepared I was for the real estate business when I started. I didn't know a soul in Florida when I was licensed. And I'm going to tell you what a heavy hitter I am in terms of my own personal goal setting. My number one goal upon being licensed was to sell one house. Okay, so that way I can say, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did it. Mm-hmm. Well, I did sell that first house, but it was to my sister. So I didn't really think it counted, but it really counted, because if I'd messed that up, well, I'd still be hearing about it, right? But so, okay, I did one. And the funny thing about that one is I still have a copy of the commission check in my desk.
Really?
I've carried it with me forever. And it was a small, small amount. But I remember, and that's why I carry a copy of the check with me, how I felt when I got that first check. Hmm. And something about it felt really good. Mm-hmm. I did this, I earned that, and I liked it. I want to do it again.
There must have been at least a little splurge with that check, right?
You know, I don't even recall.
Yeah.
It was pretty small.
You didn't get that Maserati. You
No, I'm not into the smoke and mirrors of real estate. Anything you see on reality TV surrounding real estate, as much as I profess my love of bad reality TV, I guess when you know about what's really going on, you don't find it that engaging. Yeah. But
you get a Lisa Lexus first.
That's always the thing. You know, I don't like what the real estate business has done in terms of appearance, of that, you know what's going on by appearance. You know, I always say no one cares about what you think, it's what you know. Well, I sold that first house, and I said, I've got to do another one. And my sphere of influence was fairly limited. I'm not from Florida. I don't know folks in Florida. I'm not from a real estate family. But where I spent a lot of time, I think I mentioned on the earlier podcast that, you know, I had three kids in school. And when you have three kids in school, you're at the same places over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you just start talking to people around you. And people will select who they're comfortable with. Think about, now I know you're originally from Maine. We've got a true Floridian here in the room. So,
wow.
You know, Jerry's probably the guy I would have called if I'd known Jerry when I moved here and said, Jerry,
thank you.
I just moved here. I need a doctor, dentist, hairdresser, dog groomer, yard guy, pool guy. Who do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what happens. Think about all the important people we've engaged in our lives for the things that matter to us. Do we just immediately do an internet search, or do we find somebody that we're comfortable saying, hey, do you know someone who? And we all have folks in our radar. And even the places you have to be, why? And it's not that you're soliciting or hitting everybody up. Some of the more seasoned listeners might recall the old Amway days. You know, one of these people, come to my house for a presentation.
Right,
no!
Right.
You know, but it's people that you know, like, and trust. And people that know, like, and trust you. And even if you're brand new in town, you're going to go somewhere. And whether it's a service organization, I always say, if you're going to start absolutely from scratch, volunteer. Because you've got to be out there and talking to people.
Mm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
And no, and it's not to volunteer, well, I'm going to go build a house for Habitat Humanity, and I'm going to, you know, cover myself in my logo head to toe, and boy, oh boy, people better. You know, you want to be truthfully engaged in your volunteerism, but you've got to be able to have conversations with folks.
Mm-hmm.
I use in class an example, one of my early transactions, which led to, I think I've traced 8 transactions back to this encounter. I was buying chlorine for our pool, and I couldn't even hold a business card because in each hand I had a jug of chlorine, but I had a little name badge on, and the guy in front of me turned around. He said, oh, classic, oh, you work in real estate. How's the market?
Uh-huh.
Well, you better have something engaging to say. Well, everybody's buying or selling a house. You know anyone's buying or selling a house, better call me. And who cares? Who hasn't heard that? And it just kind of led to a funny conversation about, well, do you live around here? Yeah, I live around here. Hey, you have a pool? I have a pool. Wow. And then it led to a conversation that led to an exchange of information that led to a call. This didn't happen instantly, but I can trace 8 closings back to that encounter.
Interesting.
And it all just... You know, we talk about this a lot in our post-licensing class, which is developing your elevator speech, which is essentially your 30-second encounter with someone. And this is, you know this, you're from Maine. People love to talk about where they're from here. you know, they see an out-of-state plate or maybe in your car, there's a Red Sox sticker on my car, you know. But people might say, hey, what kind of season you think the Sox are going to have this year? Hey, you from up there? Yeah, well, what do you do? Well, you know, I work, really, because we're not. It's amazing. This is one of the cool things I find about Florida is that it is very inviting to newcomers.
Yeah, I engaged someone at a traffic light, a red light the other day on Del Prado Boulevard in Cape Coral with main plates. Where are you from?
it requires some practice. Yeah. It requires some coaching and mentoring. And I feel this way, truthfully. I've been very fortunate throughout my business career, even before real estate, was to have very, very wonderful mentors in my life.
Yeah.
And I can go back to conversations I had, folks that were incredibly meaningful that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a weakness to ask for help.
Are you a mentor to some?
I think I am informally.
Oh, I think you'd have to be.
I choose you.
I'm constantly open to conversation. Yeah. I full disclaimer, I always say it's just my opinion. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an accountant, I'm nothing else. It's just my opinion. But one of my mentors always told me, you're responsible for the advice you take, not the advice you're given.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have a personal responsibility
sure.
to yourself. But there's lots of people in this business that, I think we need more of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a village here, you know. Reach out and help someone, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm hearing a TV theme. Reach out. That's all swaying.
That's an old 70s tune, yeah.
There you go.
Reach out and touch someone.
You got
but
it.
But yeah, that's not appropriate. Reach out and help someone.
Help,
you know,
yes.
Stay six
right.
feet apart.
Good
that's
advice.
Right.
Good advice. All right. Hey, we have come to the end of another Royal Palmcast podcast here in Fort Myers. So we're going to wrap things up. I want to thank you, Caroline, for taking the time to come and chat with us today and sharing your wisdom.
I appreciate the opportunity. It's been a real joy to be here.
Yeah. It's been our pleasure. Jerry, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you,
and
Jim.
Thank you for listening. The most important part of the equation. If you weren't there, we would not be here. So we understand and appreciate that. And if you are listening and you know other folks in your sphere of influence who are homeowners, realtors, home sellers, or own a home and are just interested in the topic of real estate, why not let them know about the Royal Palmcast so they can listen too? Because we've got some great content. We've done, 58 shows so far.
And that are on the air.
Well, that are on the
over
air.
Over 60 some odd that are in production.
And some odder than
in
others.
In the can.
Yeah.
In the can.
Is that
yeah.
the... That, is that the,
yeah, that's true.
They are
wow.
in the can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of information out there. Great resource for you, and it's not going anywhere. You can access it anytime from almost any device, except a toaster. I tried that.
Yeah, that's... The
Bluetooth was broken on it. Mm. But anyway, and also I want to thank Beata Jones. Beata is our CEO, and she is very supportive of the Royal Palmcast and all that we do here at our PCRA. And if you'd like to share your opinion with us about who we ought to have on as guests, what kind of topics we ought to cover, or if you just want to vent about something you heard, we'd be happy to hear from you. Why don't you just send an email to shows@rpcra.org, shows@rpcra.org, and we will be very happy to hear from you. All right. So by the way, check us out on social media. We're all over YouTube, Facebook. And if you're a member, you're getting our newsletter. Lots of great stuff out there, so check it out. Again, I want to thank everyone here on the staff of RPCRA for all they do to help us, and we will look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Raff, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.